I was sitting in a cafe, and an older student, a man I knew as a football player, approached me with a newspaper, and the newspaper headline said, "Greensboro students sit in for third day," and it told how black college students at North Carolina A&T College in Greensboro, North Carolina, for the third day in a row had sat in at the local lunch counter and described how they did it, how they behaved, and so on and so on. And he said, "Have you seen this?" I said, "Sure." He said, "What do you think about it?" I said, "It's great." He said, "Don't you think it ought to happen here in Atlanta?" I said, "I know somebody will do it here in Atlanta." He said, "Don't you think we ought to do it here?" And I said, "Ooh, what do you mean we?" And he said, "You take this side of the cafe, I'll take the other side, and we'll make it happen." And over the next several days, we gathered more and more and more and more people. And then by that time, March had come, and we began Atlanta's first sit-in demonstrations. That's how I got in. I took a group to Atlanta City Hall, which had a cafeteria in the basement. I felt extremely nervous, and I saw the black women who worked behind the steam tables, and they were extremely nervous. They knew what was happening, and they were both frightened and proud. Frightened that this thing was happening, police were going to come. They knew that was, police were going to come. And happy and proud that this thing they'd been reading about happening in North Carolina and in Tennessee had all of a sudden come to Georgia. Here it is, right here. It first of all emboldened us to know that we were joining these other young people in other parts of the South, the Upper South chiefly, who had done this same thing. That we were joining what we didn't realize then was a movement. We weren't the only ones. We were joining others who'd done it, and the others were just like us. Young people, 18, 19, 20 years old, people who had gone to segregated grade school, segregated high school, now were going to segregated public and private colleges, interested in a wide variety of career choices, but we're all doing the same thing. And it was just a fabulous thing. It was against the law in Georgia for black and white people to eat at a restaurant. I could go to that restaurant and get something to take out and eat someplace else. If I went to Woolworth's in downtown Atlanta, I could go to the end of the counter, order a sandwich, stand and wait for it to be made, given to me, paid for it, take it outside and eat it. But I couldn't sit down and eat it right there. The white woman who's the cashier, whom I later learned was the manager, said, "I'm awfully sorry." She said, "This is for City Hall employees only." And I said, "You got a big sign outside that says City Hall Cafeteria, the public is welcome." She said, "We don't mean it. We'll stay here until you do." And she called the police, and the police came and arrested us and took us away. Atlanta had a reputation as being this racial oasis in the middle of the desert of Georgia. So no, nothing untoward happened, no brutality, nothing. And later that day, black business people in Atlanta put up bond for us, property bonds for us, and we got out. A short while after this Atlanta arrest, we got a letter signed by Martin Luther King and someone named Ella Baker, whom we later found out a great deal about but didn't know who she was. And the letter invited us to come to a meeting of other student sit-in groups in Raleigh, North Carolina, on Easter weekend, 1960. And so we borrowed some money and a car from adults in Atlanta, and we drove up to Raleigh. And found hundreds of other people just like us. And we began thinking then that we're part of a movement. My organization believed in a kind of bottom-up movement, and Dr. King's organization believed in a top-down movement. And the modus operandi of King was to come to a place like Birmingham, to have a series of demonstrations over a short period of time, to win and to move on. Our strategy was almost the opposite. We were often contemptuous of the way in which King was perceived by many people as the leader who's coming to town to solve all these problems. And so we resented this deification of King. We used to call him the Lord. We used to say, "Here come the Lord, here come the Lord, here come the Lord." And we were young too, and we had a right to be critical and cynical about him, and we were.